Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm Twanda Black, your host. Joining me this morning, Gary Chapman, Executive Vice President of Network Impact and Operations for Communities in Schools. Very important. I know years ago I did some work here in Atlanta with Community in Schools, and it's a fabulous organization. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. That's great to hear. Thank
Absolutely.
You for all your time and work with CIS.
Absolutely. Tell us about what CIS does and your mission.
Sure. So at Communities in Schools, we're the nation's largest dropout prevention organization, and we surround students with a community of support, empowering them to stay in school and achieve in life. And we're using the graduation season to talk about why it's important for all kids to graduate high school and to highlight the very real costs of dropping out of school.
Yes, yes, yes. You have a two-stage campaign that you're getting ready to launch, or you've already launched. Talk about that for a moment.
Sure. So, yes, we're launching the Pass the Cap campaign with a goal of raising awareness of the issues that students in poverty face with graduation. Mm-hmm. There's over 11 million students who live in poverty in America, and they really feel the obstacles in their way to graduate from high school on time. And while we're celebrating a national record of 82% graduation rate,
oh, wow,
there's still thousands of students that are failing to stay in school and graduate on
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Georgia's graduation rate, 72.5%.
Yes, definitely. 72.5 national graduation rate of 82%.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could move Georgia's rate up to 90%, which is the goal over the next few years, we need to graduate about 38,000 more students.
My goodness.
In the state of Georgia.
What are some of the reasons that the barriers to success? And I know that kids don't have their basic necessities. So talk about that for a moment.
All right, sure. So poverty is a main barrier in the work that we're talking about. So, in fact, according to the Southern Education Foundation, low-income students are now a majority of the school children attending our nation's public schools. And these students may lack basic necessities like food, clothing, a stable home,
mm-hmm.
that makes it hard for them to focus on learning.
Absolutely. I know I can't think when I'm hungry.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you think about these non-academic challenges that we have mm-hmm. that really keep us from being able to concentrate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So talk about how moms, dads, community can really help with this. I know that, well, you take donations and they come in many different ways. So tell us how we can help.
Sure. So at Communities and Schools, we place highly trained site coordinators inside the schools
mm-hmm.
to deliver targeted services to students. So we do this with 2,300 schools all around the country, and we broker in about 10,000 community partners,
mm-hmm.
great organizations that are already there in the community, and getting them and their supports to the right sets of kids. So parents and other folks in the community can really get involved by visiting communitiesandschools.org and learning more about how to donate, to advocate, and also to volunteer for the programs.
Yes, yes, we need volunteers. I was on your site and reading the story about Kelsey, who was Miss Westlake here in Atlanta, and I just teared up. I mean, she understands, and I'm so glad that she's talking about, you know, sometimes you can't breathe. It's so overwhelming when you haven't really had that training coming up from elementary school, coming up from middle school, and then you hit high school and it's totally different. That load is different. Everything is different. And then you got to deal with schoolwork, but also with what's going on at home.
That's right. That's right. I mean, when we have many issues that we're facing in our life, maybe at home,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to concentrate. And I think, you know, early intervention is really critical. So if you can catch kids in elementary school,
that's
make
right.
sure that they're reading on grade level, that they're having all of their non-academic needs met,
mm-hmm.
and that you're providing additional supports in the academics as well to help them to stay on grade level and to catch up if needed is really, really critical.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, middle school, high school becomes even more important.
Yes, yes. And it becomes a blur. And by then, they're thinking, I can't catch up. So they just drop out.
That's right. Yes. I mean, they just get so overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
with challenges. They may many of our students may have to work and help provide additional income for the family. Or maybe their parents are working multiple jobs, and so they're helping to take care of their siblings at home.
Yeah.
That might be some of the issues. Or they just might not have a lot of the basic services and supports that they need in order to graduate. So if we can eliminate those barriers, more kids are going to stay in school. And if we can increase graduation rates by, you know, 38,000 more students in the state of Georgia, it has a real economic impact
as well. It does.
We could see $400 million more dollars in earnings and economic impact in the state just by graduating 38,000 more students.
Absolutely. And some of those students going to college and coming back and pouring into this economy. That's really, it's all connected.
It sure is. And we know from our partners at the Alliance for Excellent Education that a high school graduate earns a national average of $8,000 more compared to high school dropouts. A significant investment back into the community.
That is. So part two of the campaign is called Pass the Cap.
Yes. So that is to raise awareness for the issues. And so if you visit communitiesandschools.org, you can learn more. And if you sign up for our program, $1 for every sign up that we get on the site will be brought back into the work that we do and help to increase the number of site coordinators there are around the country.
That is phenomenal. Are those site coordinators paid or volunteer?
They are, yes. We have 3,800 site coordinators and staff all around the country working in 25 states and in D.C., that are there and providing students with support on their school campuses.
So is that a full-time position?
They are, the majority of our programs, yes, have full-time site coordinators in their schools.
That's really good to know. Again, go to cisatlanta.org for more information for right here at home. And, you know, again, tell people how we can get involved, how we can help. I know there's financial contribution. They can volunteer. There's in-kind donations. You actually take donations for some of those basic necessities that the kids need.
Yes, definitely. So you can visit communitiesandschools.org to learn much more about the work that's happening all around the country. In the state of Georgia, there are about 30 affiliates all around the state. There's CIS in Atlanta and also in Marietta, Cobb County. So a number of places there locally where folks can get involved.
Yeah, we want to keep our kids in school and have them graduate. I mean, you know, folk, we just went through graduation here and everybody's so proud of the graduates. And the graduates are proud of themselves because some of them had to just come over some rocky hills and plains just to graduate.
That's right. And we want to do everything that we can at Communities and Schools to eliminate those barriers.
Absolutely.
We're finding tremendous results with the students that we're serving. In fact, of the kids that we serve most intensively, 99% of them are staying in school, and 93% of our seniors are graduating.
See,
so even
good.
Greater than the national average and the average there in the state.
That's good stuff. That is great. That is phenomenal. Go to, again, CIS.org, right?
Yes, communitiesandschools.org. To find out more about Pass the Cap, you can also visit allfored.org, which is all, the number 4ed.org, to learn more about the economic impact of a high school diploma.
All right, Gary Chapman, thank you so much, Communities and Schools. And, of course, we have lots of branches right here in Atlanta. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tawanda.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. And, you know, it has just been this trend that everybody wants to know where they came from, who they came from. You know, are they what they think they are? It's so interesting. It's really funny. And joining us this morning, genealogist Kenyatta Berry from PBS, The Genealogy Roadshow. And the season is Uncovering Great Family Secrets. Good morning, Kenyatta.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. First of all, how did you become a genealogist?
Well, I actually started when I was in law school, so I like research and writing, and I wanted to take a break from studying torts and contracts law, so I decided to my ex-boyfriend's family, because they were very prominent African-Americans in Atlanta, and a very unusual surname of Dwelly. So I thought, well, let me take a look and see what I can find. And I uncovered a treasure trove of information about them.
Wow.
And I was hooked. Instantly thought, this is great. You know, one of the key things I found out was his second great grandfather's slave owner, or his owner, excuse me, was also his father.
Wow.
I was able to find out his name, plus his mother's name, full name. And so I thought, this is great. And from that point forward, I wanted to just really focus on African-American and slave genealogy.
That is amazing. So, you know, it's such a trend today, and I don't care where people come from. They want to know where they came from. They want to know their backgrounds. They want to know their ancestry. So this has really been a growing trend, I'd say, in the last 10, 15 years.
Absolutely. I started over 17 years ago, and mm-hmm. I had to write county courthouses, and the internet was not really
right.
As booming or as available as it is today with mm-hmm. records. So I think a couple of things have happened. A lot of the records have been made available online, a lot of the census records, birth, marriage, death records. I think also, obviously, with DNA has really helped, especially for African Americans, making that sort of jump from North America to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as well the TV shows, including Genealogy Roadshow, have kind of helped spark more interest in genealogy and family history.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I know our family, when we get together, we talk about, because my grandmother is 89, and, you know, of course, she knew her mother and father and her grandparents, so we had such a great piece of history to go by, you know, but a lot of people don't have that. So where should you start?
Absolutely, and you're very fortunate in that respect. So if you don't have that, the best place to kind of start is with those relatives, older relatives that are living today.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get those family stories. It's really important in any family to pass down that oral tradition, right? So interview older relatives. I would also suggest getting DNA for older relatives.
Mm.
Now, DNA is not inexpensive,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I would pick and choose. For example, you know, on my side, I've gotten DNA from both of my parents. Right, so you can do that. If your grandparents are still living, get DNA for them as well.
Wait. You know what? You know, Kenyatta, you probably need to break that down. When you say get DNA, what does that mean?
Okay, sure. Actually, that means a DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. A
mm-hmm.
DNA test for your parents and their grandparents. So you can order those from one of the many DNA companies that are out there. And once you get the DNA test, that will give you some results. It'll help you find family members, cousins, other folks that are part of your extended family.
Mm-hmm.
That helps because as you begin your genealogical journey, there are going to be a lot of moving parts and pieces of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that is, you know, starting with yourself and working backwards. So that means, what do you know about your family? If you were to write your own autobiography, you know, or biography, like how would you describe yourself and what you've done so far?
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of doing that to see where the gaps are. And those older family members that you interview will help fill in some of those gaps. The records that we have that are available online will help fill in some of those gaps, as well as the DNA test and results that you get will fill in those gaps.
Okay. The website on the Genealogy Roadshow has some great tips on where to start, you know, where to go. Don't give up. You know, it's really encouraging for lots of folks. So let's talk about the Genealogy Roadshow. Season 3, it's going strong and I think very successful, very great show. Who doesn't like, and I'm sure some people are really shocked about what they find out about their family members or their history. So talk about this year's show and what you guys have uncovered, some of the families.
Sure. So this year we, for season 3, went to 6 different cities. So we went to Albuquerque, Miami, Houston, Boston, Providence, and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's unique about this year, not only is that we went to 6 different cities, right, before we, last year we did 3 cities with 2 shows each city, but that helped provide a very unique perspective, right? So each city offers something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with Albuquerque, of course, we have the Wild West. We have some Native American stuff as well. Miami, we're going to have, you know, of course, the Cuban aspect mm-hmm. of that. As well. And then I think in Houston, what was unique, one of my favorite things is that, you know, we kind of explore African American ancestry and as it relates to the Confederate Army.
Mm.
So that was a really interesting one. And then also in Boston, we kind of talk about some of the unique events that occurred there, as well as the Great Boston Fire of 1872. So I think what this season brings is that it's just very different stories than we've told in the past. You know, variety of diverse
mm-hmm.
Guests. And I think that people often are very shocked and their lives are changed when they come on Genealogy Roadshow and we kind of reveal this family story to them, something they didn't know, they've always wanted to know. And they feel somewhat complete, or either they feel more intrigued to find out more, depending on what the results are.
You know, Kenyatta, what I thought, I watched all of the trailers, is that, my God, there's so much history that we don't know about. And you guys are providing those little pieces of things, of course, we've never thought about because we didn't know about it. But so much history.
Absolutely. I think it's because of every person has a very unique story.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of, I feel like, you know, we all play a part, our ancestors, whether they were prominent, you know, doctors, lawyers, whether they were farmers, we all play a part in American history. And I think there's little stories or nuances, I should say, that come up that, you know, sometimes they're not discussed in history classes,
right,
or history books, or unless you focus on that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is bring those things to the forefront, right, so that you can actually say, wait a minute, I didn't know about that,
right,
or I've heard about that. Mm-hmm. Let me learn more about it.
The Native Code Talkers, that's an amazing story to me. I would love to know more about that. I can't wait for that one to come.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is definitely that's one of those stories,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like,
mm-hmm,
I didn't know that existed, and even just watching it unfold and, you know, working through it or listening to it on the show as well, it just intrigued me because it was something that's so important,
yes,
that needs to be talked about.
And you will never learn that in your history books. That's the thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
What has been the most surprising thing that you've learned in studying a family in genealogy?
Just in general, you mean, or as far as in this season?
Well, in general, I think.
Okay. I think the surprising thing for me in studying a family, and definitely because I, you know, focus on African-American genealogy, but at all levels, is just when I find a blended family. What I mean by that is I mean family members that are African-American and European, but in a way that those that are African-American may have crossed over the color line and passed white. So that's always, and I've seen that happen a lot in my research, especially just because of just the way things work,
right,
from being in the South,
right,
migrating to the North, and
mm-hmm,
all of that. And I think that kind of really played out on season two with Gail Lukasik, whose mother passed for white, and she was from New Orleans.
Wow.
Now, her mother had African, Spanish, and French ancestry, but for me, that story, and if you know anything about me, read anything about me, I talk about it all the time, because that story for me brought to life something that I had seen so much of in my work, right? Seeing it on paper, reading about it, is different than looking at a person across from you who's lived their entire life as white.
Wow.
And is finding out that they have African ancestry, and is going through all you're revealing to them all of these things about their mother that they never thought of.
Yeah.
You know, for example, she never met any of her mother's family. They never went to New Orleans. Her mother never liked to go out into the sun because she didn't want to tan. Like, all these things are coming out that you read about, and it's this person in front of you, and you're like, this is her story. This is something that you've heard about, you don't talk about,
yeah,
but you heard about it. And now it's in front of me. And for me, that was like such a moment.
Wow. And I'm sure a moment for that client as well, going, what?
Absolutely. 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 It was. It was a moment
goodness.
For both of us. And so I think that that has been kind of the most interesting. And I think, it, you know, when you see sort of history come to life in a way.
Yeah.
That's what makes it great, and that's what I love about doing Genealogy Roadshow.
Awesome, awesome. Tell when the show is going to be airing this season on PBS.
So the show starts May 17th, which is this Tuesday, at 8 p.m., and check your local listings for your PBS station, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right. Exciting season coming up on PBS, the Genealogy Roadshow. Kenyatta Berry, who is one of the genealogists on the show, thank you so much for joining us.